Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're blessed that you have chosen to worship our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us this morning. Before we begin our time of praise and worship, on the back of your bulletin, just to highlight a couple announcements, if you'll notice with me. Immediately after the service today, there is a meeting for anyone interested in working in the nursery, and that will be held in the nursery immediately after the service. And Julie Seif will be leading that meeting. She is the coordinator for the nursery, and so please plan on attending that meeting after the service today in the nursery. We have three announcements for Vacation Bible School. Beginning this past Wednesday at 5:30, we all gathered to begin to make the decorations for Vacation Bible School and that ministry and outreach to the children and the families of the community of Gibsonburg. Also, next Sunday, April the 19th, right after worship service, there will be a meeting, and this is for anyone wanting to help this year. And mark your calendars. VBS this year is June the 15th through the 19th from 9 a.m. to 12:15, and we are now taking registrations for those children in those age groups. So please check the website and get your kids registered, or your neighbors, or those that we can minister the gospel of Christ to. Mark your calendar for Financial Peace University. This begins April the 23rd. It's a 9-week study, and it will teach you the biblical principles of how to handle your money. And so if you're interested in that, you can see Gina Florio or Daniel Crawford, and you can register online on our website at gibsonburgtrinity.org. There is a cost. However, all of the testimonies that have gone through this ministry, you will find you will recoup that cost rather quickly. Let's prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worshiping of our Lord and our coming King, Christ Jesus, our Savior. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful privilege and the opportunity and the honor that it is to worship you, to praise you, to serve you this day, the beautiful day that you have graced us with. O coming King, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our risen Savior, the one who came and died and laid down your life for us, we adore you and we praise you and we honor you and we lift our souls to you. We completely place ourselves in your hands, and we say that you would mold us and make us and shape us and form us into your likeness, that we might exhibit and exude the characteristics and the qualities that you would have us to show to those in this world. Meet us this day. We commit this time of worship into your care. Use it for your glory. Exalt your holy name, and may you find the praises be worthy and honorable in your sight. In the wonderful and the gracious name of Jesus, our Lord and coming King, we pray. Amen. That's in 2 weeks. Bowling party over at Woodville Lanes, Sunday, April the 26th at 1:30. And please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. And everyone who has attended, I know that they've all, you know, stated what a wonderful time that is to be around brothers and sisters in Christ. So thank you, Jerry, for that reminder. Let us turn our praises to our King and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, here this morning.
It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen, as we stand and get ready to praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Let us turn to our neighbor and say, God is there for you.
Long years ago, went out in sin. I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were run away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Now I can feel him by my side. My feeble steps, he comes to guide. When trials come, he comforts me. Through faith and memories, and I have the victory. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse and give you peace and joy within. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Let's sing that one more time for the Lord. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. Sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Yes, Lord, as we bow our heads, we thank you for what you are doing for us, what you have done for us, Lord. We thank you for opening that door, for allowing us to have a relationship with you, to get to know you, Lord. Father, there's anybody here today that just needs a touch from you or just needs you, Father. Reach them, Father, and bring them to you today, Lord. Father, and those that couldn't be here, Father, we ask that you be with them too. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we bow our heads, Lord, thank you for saving us. What a wonderful Savior you are, Lord. I can't imagine my life without you, and I'm sure there's many others that couldn't imagine their life without you. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't have that relationship with you, let them come up here today, Lord, and just give their heart to you so they can see what you'll do for them. Lord, we thank you for opening that door, for allowing us to have your grace, Father, for there's nothing that we can't be forgiven for. If we're hurting inside, Lord, you're there for us. If we need a blessing, Lord, you're there for us. You feed the sparrows, you'll feed us, and you know every single hair that's on our head, you have them numbered. Lord, let us not forget that. Let us remember to have that faith, and let's really step out for you. For with you, all things really are possible. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, amen to that. And Lord, as we bow our heads, yes, yes, Lord, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yes, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing here. Amen, Lord. As we bow our heads, Lord, Father in heaven, one more time we come before you, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing and what you have done in our lives. But if we can sit here today and say it's not well with my soul, Lord, let us understand that you can make that well. You can take care of anything. There's no more worry. There's no more hurt. There's no more pain. There's nothing else we have to carry with us. For you wipe away our steps in the past, and you bring forward a new light and a new life. Father, if there's anyone here that needs you today for anything, bring him here today, Father, up to the altar later, Father, and just let him know that you're there with grace, that you can take care of anything. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is a reading from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd.
Financial peace. We all want it. For a while, I didn't have it. 20 years ago, I hit rock bottom. I lost just about everything. I turned to God for help, and I learned how to handle money His way. As you can imagine, it worked. That's why I started Financial Peace University, because God's ways work. Whether you're in over your head or you're doing okay right now, if you bring home $10,000 or $10 million, if you're 21 or 61, we all need a plan. Millions of people have been through Financial Peace University. They have success stories of their own. They've learned how to get rid of debt, prepare for generations to come, and give like crazy. Your success story, your financial peace, is up to you. Now is your time. It's time to take control of your money. It's time to get ready for what God has for you. It's time for financial peace.
Tina is one of the leaders. Daniel Crawford is another leader of financial peace. And Gina is just going to offer a testimony of the vitality of this ministry, of this class, and just to share how it impacted, you know, her and John's life.
Thank you, everyone. It was 2 years ago when I went through Financial Peace University. It was during a time in my life when I was without a job and had to figure out how we were going to make ends meet. I'm thankful to God and Dave Ramsey, that's who that was, for showing me the proper way to handle money. Although I signed up as a couple, my husband was only able to attend a few classes. I would show him exactly what we learned in class, and we would go over it together. I say this because even if only one spouse can attend, it's still very beneficial. It doesn't matter your age or marital status. These are financial principles based on what Scripture says. Since going through the course, we have been able to, I say we, you and I, have been able to pay off many debts and start saving. We didn't have a savings when I was without work. The best part of it all is that we are able to give in a way that we hadn't been able to before. My biggest reason for telling you this now is that, most importantly, I learned the importance of tithing. While I was raising money to go on the mission trip to Mexico, I came across a few people that lived these same godly principles. They made donations that were so unexpected. It was while I was in Mexico that I discovered my passion for this and this way of living and wanted to share it with others. I approached Pastor Max with the suggestion of leading this course, and here we are now. I remind myself daily that everything I have belongs to God and not to me. All my possessions, my money, my children, He has loaned to me temporarily. I mention my children because two of my sons, these two. Now I lost my place. I mention this because two of my sons will be taking this class as well. What I do with the things he, God, has given to me is what is important to God. No, wait a minute. Yeah, what I do with the things that God has given me is what's important to him. It is through this living, living this way, that I'm able to be at peace with my finances and also be able to give as Scripture tells. Prior to this, I was not at peace with my finances, like daily. I am now at peace. Imagine if every member in this church did that. Imagine what this church would be like. Imagine what our little town would be like. This is why I encourage everyone to go through this course and live life with financial peace. And I'm going to make my husband put him on the spot. He doesn't know this. Okay, John, tell everyone just something that you tend to tell about me from going through this course.
Yeah. I guess I just want to make a comparison of before we went through the course, when it would come time for taxes or house insurance was due, it would just be a total surprise, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, we have to come up with that. And after going through the course, you know, it's really nice to be married to someone that is so far into this course, because Gina puts everything in envelopes, and there, it's eliminated a lot of stress, you know. When the house insurance is due, she just reaches in her envelope and pulls it out, and it's all there, you know. And Gina has always been a better, Gina started tithing, I guess, before I did. And I feel like maybe I'm her blessing, you know. But, you know, I'm starting to see what she does and what works for her. And I'm going to do that as well. I'm also going to go through the course. It'll be my second time, and I'm sure I'll pick up on things that I didn't the first time.
And I encourage anyone, age doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're married or single, just attend.
We're going to watch a slideshow here in a moment or two of April 4th's Easter egg hunt that was held at Williams Park. And Trinity United Methodist Church, I want you to know, this is what you are a part of. When you support ministries that are reaching out into the community. And Trinity, this is what you're a part of when you pray for these types of ministries, such as the outreach ministry. So let's watch and see the impact. That's what you're a part of, Trinity. You're a part of reaching out to 154 children, and you know, over 6,000 eggs were stuffed, and you know, just seeing those young kids with baskets overflowing with the eggs. I mean, how cool is that? That's awesome. That's wonderful. Amen. It's awesome. And so, Trinity, I say thank you. And Julie and Joanna, they, you know, headed that up. But friends, that's what you're a part of. Reaching out into the community, sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and sharing the love of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This morning we're continuing our series titled Pictures of Salvation. And we will be looking at the text from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, and specifically we will be looking at verses 1 through 10. If you brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And in a few moments we will reread once again the first 10 verses. Speaking of this passage of Scripture, Chrysostom stated the following. He said, when Jesus brings us to the Father, he calls himself a door. And when Jesus takes care of us, he calls himself a shepherd. Now, it's imperative that we understand the context in which we find this passage. We can simply read the 10 verses and not understand fully what Jesus is talking about when he speaks of things such as him being the door, him being the shepherd, and he speaks of things as thieves and robbers and abundant life. This teaching of the Lord Jesus came on the heels of the blind man who was being healed, and that entire account can be found in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. I would encourage all of you to read that on your own time. It sets the tone, and it's essentially important that we understand what Jesus was saying so that we will be able to apply this truth to our lives. Now, Jesus, he did heal the blind man on the Sabbath, and according to Jewish law, this was a no-no. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, thought the way to God was by obeying the law that Moses commanded them to obey. In the midst of their obeying and them seeking to be obedient to what they thought was the right path to God, they forgot the very thing which God holds dear to his heart. And that thing, my friends, is people. And don't miss that. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were so zealous in their seeking to observe the rituals and the legalities that they forgot the crown of creation. They forgot to care for people. And so Jesus shows up on the scene and he begins to challenge them on their religious principles. He does things like healing on the Sabbath, showing mercy and grace to people, performing miracles, and speaking of forgiving sins. This didn't sit well with the religious leaders. And it's to this backdrop which the following account took place. Let's listen to the words of John 10, verses 1 through 10 once again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, we have to remember Jesus was taking a common element of his everyday life for those who lived during his time, and he used it to speak of a crucial truth. Jesus is speaking in an allegory form through this passage, and it's vital we don't dig too deeply. Otherwise, we'll have the tendency to misinterpret the message of Jesus. We need to understand that in Jesus' day, sheepfolds were typically this round enclosure built with rocks and sticks, and sometimes they would have partial roofs over them, and they were only used at night. Sometimes sheepfolds would be attached to homes, and the only way in was through the gate. Their purpose was for protection at night for the sheep, and basically the shepherd every night would sleep in the doorway. He would sleep over the threshold of the door. And so the only way to get to the sheep or for the sheep to leave was to go through the shepherd. Every night, multiple shepherds would gather around the central sheepfold, and several flocks of sheep, they would stay in the same sheepfold. The next morning, each shepherd would go onto their area, and they would call or speak what they would typically lead the sheep with. And the sheep, knowing the shepherd's voice, would separate and rejoin their flock, following the shepherd. And so, friends, through this entire passage, Jesus speaks the allegory and then gives his explanation beginning in verse 7 through 10. Listen again to the words of Jesus beginning in verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Friends, Jesus is speaking two things to all of us here today. The first thing he's speaking to us is that he is the path to God. We live in a land in America, in the United States of America, where religious pluralism has flourished. And what pluralism is there are many forms of religion in America. And let's not miss the fact that the freedom of religion has truly been good for Christianity. We need to be thankful that we have the freedom to gather and have experienced living in the USA, where we can freely express our beliefs. And yes, those beliefs might be challenged today. However, we need to be thankful that God has given us a country where we can freely and openly gather and worship our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our brothers and sisters all around the world, unfortunately, do not have that same luxury. They meet in secret. They meet in hidden places. They meet in the underground church, and they call each other brothers and sisters, because if they are open about their Christian faith, they will be persecuted. We see it on the news time and time again. And so, friends, we have much to be thankful for. But we need to understand that, yes, Christianity has flourished under the Freedom of Religion Act, and yet it appears to be moving too far. Jesus is emphatically stating that he is the only way to God. Hear that. There is no other way. Jesus is saying he is the path to God. There is no other way to God. The road to God, friends, is not like going to Philadelphia with many routes, and the road you take doesn't matter. Friends, it matters. Either you are on the one true path with Jesus leading you, or you are going astray. Now, some here will say, you can't say that. You can't be so exclusive. We need to understand that our God is a jealous God. The sacrifice of Jesus will always be called into question if we accept religious pluralism. Know that. Because if there's a different route to get to God, then why did Jesus die? Why did he lay down his life for you and for me? Friends, the sacrifice of Christ is essential. It's the only way to get in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's the message Jesus is speaking here to you and to me today. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of his day, and many times they would arrive in those positions because of their name, because of what they inherited. And we can apply that in our lives today. It doesn't matter what your name is, if your grandmother or grandfather went to church, or if your mom and dad went to church. Friends, your relationship with God is your responsibility, not a family member's responsibility. Jesus was saying he is the one true path to meet a loving Heavenly Father. And it's only through Christ, who is the door, the doorway to coming to God the Father, that we can ever, ever experience that relationship with our Lord in heaven. God, Jesus, is exclusive. Jesus is the door to the path to God, and you want to get to God, then receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Enter through the door. Enter through Christ Jesus. The second thing that Jesus is teaching us today is the providence of God. Now, it's important that we understand what we mean when we say the word providence. And when we speak of providence, we're speaking of God providing care and guidance for you and for me. Now, let me be clear that God wants to provide for you and me. God wants to guide you and me. And this is why Jesus stated, his sheep hear his voice and they listen. Many in our world today will say that God doesn't speak to us today. And friends, that is not true. God still speaks. He still speaks to all of us. It's up to us whether or not we choose to listen. I'm going to give you three ways that God still speaks to you and to me. The first is through God's Word, His Holy Writ, the Scriptures, the Bible. He doesn't speak through another book. He doesn't speak through any prophets. Jesus was the final prophet. He speaks through God's Word. The reason revelation is revelation is because it's all been revealed. There is no more. Jesus was the consummate. He was the finality of revealing all that God has to reveal. And so God speaks to us through His Word. The second way that God still speaks to you and to me is through godly people, through people who are chasing after the Lord Jesus Christ, who have their heart bent to following Jesus no matter where He leads. And if they're leading and following Christ, then many times God will speak to us through them. Typically in my life, if I hear something on a couple different occasions from a couple different people, it's a red flag for me because God is trying to get my attention. In a random way, many people will come up to me from time to time and they will say the same exact thing. And friends, if you ever experience that, that's God saying, are you listening? Are you hearing what I'm trying to speak to you? And so not only does God still speak to us through His Word, but He speaks to us through other godly men and women chasing after the Lord in heaven. The third way that God still speaks to you and me is through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we need to realize that once you receive Christ, you and me were sealed with the Holy Spirit later for redemption. The neat thing, the wonderful thing, the incredible, awesome thing about God is He seals you and me with Himself. You have God living in you, and I have God living in me. And it's the leading of the Holy Spirit and the conviction and the guidance and how the Holy Spirit leads you and me. That's God speaking to you, friends. Don't miss that. If you feel that nudge of having to do something and serve in a certain way, follow, listen. If you feel that you have to do something, obey. If you feel you shouldn't go a certain place, don't. And friends, this is why we are in the situation we find ourselves in today, because many of us fail to listen to Jesus. Many of us fail to read the Word of God on a daily basis. Many of us read more devotionals than we read God's Word. Many of us forsake the gathering of believers on a regular basis. Now, I'm not advocating coming to church just to come to church. If this was just about a gathering or a meeting to come to church, but when you cut yourself off from the godly men and women who are chasing after Christ, you cut yourself off from one of the ways that God wants to use to speak to you and to speak to me. Many of us allow life to creep in and take us away from the fellowship of godly men and women. Many of us grieve, and we even quench the Holy Spirit in us, and we live according to our own desires. And so, friends, if you want the door to God, let Jesus lead you. And then I appeal to you this day to listen to Him. Listen as He speaks to you through His Word. Listen as He speaks to you through godly people. And listen as He speaks to you through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God's providence includes two aspects, and real quickly, we're going to cover these. The first is protection. The shepherds would gather the flock of sheep in the sheepfolds for the night for protection. And friends, our temptation is to rest inside the protection of the sheepfold, to only surround ourselves with other brothers and sisters, other sheep, if you will, in the sheepfold. And God's Word speaks to us that we ought not do that. We need to step out as God leads us with things such as the Easter egg hunt, with things and ministries such as Vacation Bible School. And we need to step out of our comfort zone and get involved in Bible studies, in daily devotionals. We need to attend church. We need to listen to God. And friends, we need to ask God to hear and to give us ears what He is saying to you and to me. We can't simply be comfortable inside the sheepfold in the protection that Jesus has given to you and to me. That's a wonderful thing. To acknowledge and to know that nothing will come into your life unless it passes through the hand of God. Nothing will enter into your life unless God permits it, unless He allows it. That's protection, friends. That's His providence. That's His care. That's His governing sovereignty over your life and mine. But our temptation is to only experience that and to never follow the leading, the guiding of where He wants us to go. And sometimes He'll call us to go to uncomfortable places, foreign lands, in people that we don't really understand, to cultures that we don't grasp. But friends, if He's calling, we need to listen. The second aspect of His providence is the pasture. Jesus said that those in the sheepfold will go in and come out and they will find pasture. I grow up on a farm and pasture provides boundaries. It provides sustenance. It provides security and it provides comfort. But here again, our temptation in our Christian journey is to stay in our comfort zone and to not worry about those on other paths who might not have a relationship with Christ. And so we too, again, need to step out. And we need to pray for those not connected with Jesus. We need to pray for those that are deceived and following a thief and a robber, a false teacher. We need to pray for God to grant all of us all that we need each and every day. So friends, the message is clear. Jesus is the only way to God. There are not multiple ways. It's through Christ and Christ crucified that we are accepted by our Heavenly Father, our Lord. And then it's the providence of God. And we need to fight and allow God to speak to us through His Word, through other godly people, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so we don't get mired down in thinking it's about us. Because, friends, it's about people. And we can't be so comfortable in the protected nature of where we are at in our own Christianity that we fail to move. Nor can we be so comfortable that we fail to miss the heart of God, and that's His love for people. I challenge all of us to assess our relationship with Christ and where He's leading us today. And whether that's for us to step out and learn more, to get into His Word, to pray more, to be around godly men and women more, I challenge you over the next week to open yourself up to others who are godly men and women. Get involved in Bible studies. Incorporate a daily devotion in your daily routine. And listen as the living Lord, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, leads you and me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful that You, Jesus, You are the door. You are the way to God. You are the way to a right relationship with You, O Heavenly Father. We bless You for that. We praise You for that. We praise You for providing the opportunity and the access to a holy God, a God who otherwise was unapproachable, a God who otherwise could not be in a relationship with us. Jesus, we are blessed that Your righteousness was attributed to our account, and so we have been made worthy to a holy, 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 loving God the Father. We bless You for that. We thank You for Your providence, O Jesus, for Your protection and for Your care, the pasture of life, of caring for our needs, our food and clothing. And Father, may You lead us. May You grant us all ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, ears to hear the message You have for us. And Father, may we attune our ears to Your holy writ, Your holy word. May we open our ears to other godly men and women. May we allow Your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. And Father, give us sensitivity so that we will not be taken amiss or awry. But may we be sensitive to Your leading, O Christ, the leading of Your voice, May we train the soul and the spirit of our very being to listen as you lead, as you guide, as you call, and may you grant us the courage to step forth, to step up, and to step out. And oh, Jesus, we bless you now. We thank you for the promise that you are the door, you're the way to God, and the promise of your providence, that you will protect, you'll care for us. And we bless you for that now. We pray all this in the mighty and the gracious name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
You know, sometimes life just gets going by so fast. My boys were 5 and 7 the other day. Now they're 15 and 17. And sometimes we just continue to think that we're going to do everything on our own. We're going to carry that burden or worry with us forever. And we think, you know what, I'm my own hero, I can handle this. But, you know, the Lord doesn't want you to do that because he has that door that's open. I question, you know, are you listening to God? Are we staying in our comfort zone? And I say we because I'm guilty too. Are we staying in our comfort zone? Is there any burdens or anything that you're carrying with you? If you don't have that relationship with God, or even if you do and you just want to give something to God, know that these altars are open, that his door is open for you. So please, don't leave here today. Time is short. There's no guarantee of time. So please, come up here today if you need him.
Before we close, I would like to remind you of the account of Abraham Lincoln, the then president. During the war, he would attend this church, and he would sit near the pastor's study. And after every weekly, the Bible study, his aide would come to him and say, "What did you think?" And he would respond similarly to the same way each week. And he would say, "The message was eloquently delivered. The message was full of truth." But he failed. His aide then asked him and said, "Why did the pastor fail?" And President Lincoln said, "Because he failed to call us to something great." He failed to call us to something of great importance. And friends, this morning, I wish to call us all to be part of something great. We at Trinity, we are out and about and seeking to introduce others to the door, who is Jesus. And I would like to invite you to join us, to be part of something important, something great. Don't merely just come and sit in a pew and depart and go and think it's well. Because friends, God has gifted all of us with unique talents and abilities and characteristics because he wants to reach people that can connect with you. So I invite you to be a part of something of great value, of great importance, of introducing others to the door, Jesus Christ, the one true path to God. As we depart, may the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, and may his peace adorn you as a garment of grace. May his love saturate your very presence, and may he truly abide with you each and every day. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.